Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the follow button. Excuse me. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. When you join the ULU community, please use the same name that you use when you join Us Lifting Us. The 2023 Us Lifting Us Annual Members Meeting and Convention is only 1 week away. Have you registered yet? We're gathering virtually from March 10th through 12th to reconnect to each other, recommit to the mission and vision of ULU, and renew our spirits for transformation and benefit of our present and our future. Will you be there? Register by going to the usliftingus.com website and following the convention link. All members who register will be entered into a special drawing for a $25 gift certificate. Register today. Our present and our future depend on you. Register at usliftingus.com. And remember, you must be an ULU member to go to join us on that meeting and convention. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Thurman, who, like me, is a member of ULU. Our topic for tonight is, what's in the news, African family? Purpose? Peace, Brother Thurman. How are you doing tonight? Brother Thurman? Okay. I messed up.
Oh, peace, good, Brother good. Thurman. Yes,
can
peace,
you hear me?
Sister Q. Yes, I can. And
okay.
I thank you and so glad to be on the call with you, Sister Q, as well as the sisters and brothers that's heard around the world on the Dare to Win call.
We're glad to have you. We look forward to you sharing news with us once a month. So what's in the news for this evening?
Well, I want to bring forth, starting off, the subject of our people and our ancestors is something that we need to always never lose track of, because as the ancestors passed on to us long ago, is that the ancestors are always with us as long as someone remembers them. And what
mm-hmm.
I want to read is some things pertaining to ancestors that happened in Richmond, Virginia. Enslaving,
okay.
transporting, and jailing Africans was big business in Richmond, Virginia. The real history is horrific. That's why so many want to suppress it. Duran L. Chavis took me on to the site of the Lumpkins Jail and the African Burial Ground. Lumpkins Jail is a wooden structure that still exists, still standing in Richmond. It's been put on a platform, but Richmond was a dock where they from across the ocean and through the Chesapeake Bay, I believe, and into the James River, all the way into Richmond, and that dock where they docked and onboarded the kidnapped Africans is the waterway is still there. It could be
mm-hmm.
still can be navigated. And Lumpkins Jail was one of the places that they housed and locked up the kidnapped Africans when they took them off the ship and marched them through the woods and across a bridge across the river and into Lumpkins Jails and other places. And also, he explained how the system of slavery created money in Richmond, not just from black labor, but there were hotels that enslavers stayed in while in Richmond to buy or sell enslaved Africans. The enslavers
mm-hmm.
bought chains and clothing. There were brothels and gambling on fights between enslaved black men in a pit. Lots of money was made that created wealth still held by people, others, today. And this is a historic site. And Africans over recent years had fought to get a parking lot that was actually paved over a portion of the African burial grounds, because they were lynched, they were auctioned off, and a lot of them were buried. And some portion of it is still covered up, but a major portion of the efforts of African people and other supporters was to get the asphalt taken off of our ancestors. Mm-hmm. And also during that time period, Virginia was where blacks were bred into light-skinned servants, and they were shipped out to other places, including New Orleans, because they had their sick system, you know, was raping sisters, of course, and they to have servants that were of lighter melanin hue in the house, mm-hmm. and that's what I've got right there. And I'm looking at a piece about. You got a question?
I was going to make a comment for clarification regarding the parking lot that you mentioned. You're saying
yes.
That the parking lot is built over half of a gravesite, but they didn't take up the bodies. They just paved over it?
Oh, yes. They just paved over it, as they have done in other places. In the African burial ground in Richmond is probably the second largest in terms of what happened there. But yes, they did. The university, VCU, actually had it paved over several or more years ago, and they were parking there. But due to the persistent effort of Africans and other supporters, they finally agreed on that half of the burial grounds to take the asphalt off of our ancestors. And, of course, the university had the money to do that, but before that happened, some African business people that had trucks and dump trucks and things like that, the machinery to take up the pavement, they came in as a sense of pride and caring, and they took the asphalt up. And so now the burial grounds is being used, you know, by African people to go there to remember ancestors that were buried there and some that have passed in recent years. And also, there's a Tekken, or some people call it obelisk, that is something that originated in Africa, you know, a few thousands of years ago, that represent a number of things, including to attract the power from the sun, but also as a symbol of divine procreation and part of what it takes to bring forth life. So it's a phallic symbol, or it's a symbol in part of a black man's penis. And all of the authentic ones in Africa that were also stolen and taken to various places, including the courtyard of the Vatican. If you go to type in the Vatican, when you get the picture to watch the Vatican, you look, you'll see a round area, circular area, and in the middle of it is an authentic African tekken or obelisk that was taken from Africa, who knows, 100 or 200 years ago, I'm not sure, but sometime in the past. And but some local Africans actually engineered and designed and erected a tekken that's probably about way over 15 feet tall, that's also on the African burial grounds in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the clarification. And you were mentioning the fighting in the pit. Sounds like the precursor to boxing, what the fighting
yeah.
ring that they have now. Although
I imagine
the understanding is that goes back many hundreds of years.
Yeah.
That didn't just start here, but it's a continuation of that ritual.
Mm. That's right. Yeah, gladiator sports, you know, from the European perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I just wanted to just touch on is I read a piece where somebody was talking about gun legislation, and some people oppose gun legislation. But it went on to say, you know, just some valuable thought is that if the Europeans and settlers gave up their guns, then they'd also be vulnerable to losing or giving up the land they illegally laid claim to, stolen land.
Mm-hmm.
And so guns has enabled them to use the threat of violence as a way of not returning stolen land to the ones that the original people that were here long
mm-hmm.
before they came. And of course, Africans were, because they were the original people on the planet and there was no other people to speak of, they traveled all over the globe, and that's documented stuff, including Europe and Asia and South America
mm-hmm.
and beyond. And they were here long before. And so it's stolen land, but it's being defended by the threat of violence because there's so many. I believe that there are more guns than people in the U.S.
I've heard that as well.
Yeah.
Because some people have their own personal arsenal.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's people that've got huge, huge arsenals. Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I want to read a piece by Malcolm X. It said, "Our people have made the mistake of confusing the methods with the objectives. As long as we agree on objectives, we should never fall out with each other just because we believe in different methods or tactics or strategy. We have to keep in mind, keep that, what I just said in mind. And so, for example, if the objective is freedom and liberation, total freedom and liberation, then if someone says that we should pray our way towards achieving our goals, and somebody says that we must take another method and be armed and fight, as long as we shouldn't fall out with each other, as long as the objective is towards freedom. And it's kind of like African wisdom that says that whatever your place is on the battlefield, in the middle of battle, don't change positions. And so some people would have the job of being healers and spiritual people, and then there's others that would be the warriors with whatever weapons that's mm-hmm. being used on the battlefield. So it's very valuable that we get it, that we should not fall out as long as our objective is to be free and liberated once again.
That's a very key point, I think. Because we do fall out and then become counterproductive because we are busy fighting each other rather than working toward the objective that should be forefront for everyone. I think that's a very good point to remind us of, because I think we know all of this, but in the thick of what's going on, we sometimes forget the basics.
Yeah, well, that's why we need to repeat wise words and the historical pieces so that we stay reminded and it's fresh on our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Another very valuable piece, this is coming from the words of Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. "It is therefore the self-respecting task of blacks and other non-whites to understand that war and behavior dynamic of racism in which we are presently trapped. Through this understanding, we must evolve our own behavior in all areas of people activity that will eventually checkmate this global racist white necessity and injustice. Black people may begin by educating all black male children in understanding racism and by putting increased pressure on black males to recognize their role as husbands and fathers. This understanding means that black men must work and provide support for their families, which the white collective attempts to prevent them from doing. Males who do not demand and fight, if necessary, but have jobs, cannot become husbands and fathers. And what if I need to make it more plain, it's saying that brothers that are not taking care of families, don't have jobs, they should not be eligible to become husbands and fathers. Then it goes on to say, most certainly teenage male children cannot become parents, which means that black females will have to learn when and what circumstances they should relate to black males in the act of sexual intercourse and self-reproduction.
I wouldn't focus so much on jobs as being able to create a means of supporting his family. So he could find his niche in the community and create a business and support his family that way.
That's
because we focus a lot on jobs, and one of the things about that is in many instances the jobs are given to us by others, even within our own communities. And so then that, again, puts somebody else in a power position to manipulate our behavior. So I see probably that Dr. Wilson didn't necessarily mean have to get a job, but for clarification, I would say not focus so much on the job but as a means of providing for their family, creating wealth in some kind of way.
And so you're so right, and I agree with you. And the powerful message is that we must have discipline about who and when and under what circumstances there would be the act of sexual intercourse and self-reproduction. Brother Hewitt Newton, whose most recent birthday anniversary was February 17th, he talked about I dissuade party members, talking about the Black Panther Party, I dissuade party members from putting down people who do not understand. Even people who are unenlightened and seemingly bourgeois should be answered in a polite way. Things should be explained to them as fully as possible. I was turned off by a person who did not want to talk to me because I was not important enough. He just wanted to preach to the converted who already agreed with him. I try to be cordial because that way you win people over. You cannot win them over by drawing the line of demarcation, saying you are on this side and I am on the other. That shows a lack of consciousness. After the Black Panther Party was formed, I nearly fell into this area. This is what Huey is saying. I nearly fell into this era. I could not understand why people were blind to what I saw so clearly. Then I realized that understanding had to be developed. People get that. So we've got to be very careful about how we just put our people down and understand that and know and have clarity that there are people that have not developed where others have, whatever the subject is. It's just, you know, like those that have developed greater clarity and discipline and participation in natural plant-based diet, and those that have not gotten that clarity and have not developed, have not made that transition, we still got to love them.
Mm-hmm. You know, I saw an article today. I didn't read the article. I actually just read the headline. But the headline was something along the lines of people that don't watch television don't understand how the people that do watch television are affected by the propaganda that they see on TV. And I think that applies to anything, even what Huey Newton is saying. If you are of one frame of mind, it's difficult for you to understand a person who is of a different frame of mind. And our programming is to dismiss people. You know, we say, oh, they're just stupid, or they whatever. We put them down and we dismiss them without recognizing that they think what they think and do what they do based on the information that they have. So if the, when the information changes, their behavior will change, their thoughts will change, or the opposite, their thoughts will change first and then their behavior. So we, as the so-called conscious community, are, the burden is on us to understand the others, because for most of us have been where they are and have thought what they think, whereas they have not thought what we think, otherwise they would be where we are. So I think we, that's, again, some good information for us to remember, because we already know, I think, we know all of this, but we get caught up and we don't, it escapes our immediate attention from time to time.
Okay. And another piece that I want to mention before I go to some things about purpose. A woman's magazine showing, there's a woman's magazine, and I saw this recently, this is in the news, that was showing the countries with the most beautiful women in Africa. Original. Now, the reason that I'm bringing this forth in the news, because we need clarity and we need greater comprehension of whatever is happening in the world, so that we can, we got to guard ourselves and make sure that we're not being confused. And so the subject of anywhere on the planet that would be designating the most beautiful African women is a ball of confusion for those that comprehend that, what I'm saying. And so original African people must break free from social and political oppression that designates certain bodies are more worthy and desirable than others. And so it's just like when I talked about the kidnapped Africans that were brought into Richmond and other places from Africa. They had, they breeded lighter skinned Africans that were, that got that from their rape, from being raped. And oftentimes, many times I have seen over the years when there are Africans in Africa, in Africa that in, would designate certain women in certain parts of Africa as being the most beautiful. In my mind says, how dare you do that? Because mostly it's based, largely it's based on the pigmentation. And we just can't operate in right spirituality, for example, to be so biased. And it's just unjust, because if you are blue-black in terms of the most richly pigmented blue-black skin, that doesn't determine that you are not, that you are not beautiful, or that you necessarily are. The beauty starts within, and without a doubt, black women are beautiful. But we can't afford the bias in our own thinking and behavior that we would designate certain ones as beautiful and certain ones that are not outwardly, bodies, physically. And that's the reason I just wanted to mention that. Some will get more than others, you know what I'm talking about. You have to delve down mm-hmm. into the genetic makeup of us and just find out that there's some things that are just plain long ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's been programmed into us.
Exactly. That all of that is part of the program to take
yes.
us off of our purpose, which is for self-determination and liberation for the people.
Yes.
So we're going
yep.
to get stuck on skin color, then, you know,
yes.
or
so
any
need,
other
need,
thing.
Yeah, I agree. So we need to get rid of all of the confusion of the mind. And, you know, it's just like genetic makeup. When I was most of my years, I would hear the older folks say, and I didn't have nothing else to go on, and I believed them, but they said, we are all the same. Talking about all over the world, all groups of people, we're all the same. But that is absolutely not scientifically true.
Mm-hmm.
And scientifically, there's a DNA strand or sequence that has studied chimpanzees and orangutans and gorillas and Europeans and Asians and Africans. And then that DNA sequence, if I got the terminology right, would range from 3 or 4 to coming into the Europeans and Asians as being 6. And when they studied the DNA sequence or strands of the African, it's 9. And so
mm-hmm.
now we're talking
mm-hmm.
about some science that can be duplicated and validated that we're not all the
mm-hmm.
same. And anatomically, we're not the same. You know, there's a lot of things going on with us. You know, one of the reasons that brothers and sisters included that play basketball, for example, can jump the way they do, one of the attributes, many attributes, including, you know, their melanin and just their genetic strength. But part of it is
mm-hmm.
called fast twitch muscles, which are located in the area of the ankles that allows people to jump like they do. And that came forward years ago when there was a brother that was about 5'7" named Spud Webb. And so they
mm-hmm.
studied why could he dunk the ball, and he was 5'7", if he could dunk the ball. But it was partly because these fast twitch muscles, just almost like a rubber band, gets released with energy and propels them up when there's a demand to do that. So I want to go ahead and move forward with purpose. Purpose is one of the 7 principles of the Nguzo Saba in terms of the definition, Nia, which is that principle. Purpose, to make our collective vocation the building and developing our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. And another definition outside of the Nguzo Saba is that purpose is the reason something is created, exists, or is done, one's intention or objective. And we've got to go forward with this subject of vast subject of purpose, because there's purpose in many all subject areas of life. And
mm-hmm.
the worldwide purpose of African people must be to take our freedom and maintain it, to take our freedom and maintain it. Otherwise, we would be at the mercy of others as we are right now. And we must get clarity that our purpose that is in many areas, including spiritually, in terms of health and wellness, our family structure and process, we're not striving and we won't get free and free our mind, number one, that determines which way our behind moves. If we don't free our mind, if we've got this European model of what purpose is, then we'd get it. We have, as some that don't know, they have not reached that stage of higher consciousness, and also they have not delved into the higher knowledge that's in the passed down wisdom and history that's also in books that was also and also in structures all over Africa, including in Kemet or so-called Egypt, as chiseled in stone in the pyramids and in different languages, in different images that can be deciphered, you know, called the Metu Neter. And of the purposes there are of the in life, where you are just determines what level you would be operating on, what areas you would tap into. And one of them, to in terms of knowing your purpose, determining your purpose, finding your purpose, is to just be. And to just be, when I said that, that's real simple, just the words just be. But it's really complex if you delve into it, and you'd have to, if you haven't, and nobody has talked about it, you need to look it up. But there's a mode when you just be, and to be present. And when you just be, you observe what is happening in the environment without any judgment, criticism, or rejection. And when following the just be way, your purpose or purposes are often revealed to you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's various ways that people use, and you can look it up, of how to find your purpose. Some of them are more simplistic, to just be and to just be still and follow the way. A whole lot would be revealed to you that you otherwise would miss out on when you don't tap into just be. Or another language that people use is called the way. If you look up the way of peace, that's one of them, but also the ancient way is the way of Maya. And so moving on to the spiritual, I just mentioned Maya, the way of peace. And with Maya and the way of peace, when we speak love language, no cussing. Once again, no cussing. That doesn't fit. That's not the way of Maya. And it's not the higher realm. And it's not the greatest good. The ancient Africans passed on the wisdom of the greatest good. And that is just one of the ways that we can measure whether something is appropriate for us to be involved in or not. Is it the greatest good? And is it the greatest good for us to drink water, go out in the sunshine, exercise, do Tai Chi, yoga, things like that that originated in Africa? Or is it the greatest good to eat pork chops and cheese and soda? But whatever the greatest good is, it always has an outcome that's demonstrated whether it's truly the greatest good. And so if you take the route of ingesting pork chops and cheese and soda, it shows whether it was the greatest good or not. And if it was, if it is, stay well and fit, and you'd be 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years old, and you'd still be fit and sharp as a tack in your mind. But if it's not, then you have high blood pressure and gout, kidney dialysis and diabetes and so much more. And so the greatest good, that's something that we must have a part of us. And also, we've got to get the language right. And the following the ways of Maya, the way of peace, we have a higher perspective about language and how we use it and how we speak to people. And for those that's not familiar with it, you need to just look up the Maya, M-A-A-T, or the 42 affirmations of Maya, and it will guide you. And it's more to that. And I just want to just read something that, as I said, the language right. And when you just be, when you follow the way of Maya, when you follow the way, and I said a minute ago, no cussing, that's not love language. That's not getting the language right. And the N-word terminology and language is today an expression of ignorance and irresponsibility of past generations. And it is an awful excuse for anyone to communicate, identify, or defend themselves in that manner. So there's no justification no ethical justification. It's not in the greatest good to use the N-word, the same as not in the greatest good to be cussing in any form.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go just touch on, I think the time is still good, family, the collective family. If we follow the purpose in terms of family from the European perspective, we would just be about centered about from family, mostly your household and those that are close in and closest, siblings, cousins. But from the African perspective, it always has been, especially in the high culture systems, it was about the collective family, the entire village. And then we, with the entire village, we are keeping our culture, our spirituality, our culture intact, and we are building generational legacies, and we were having success before the invaders came when we did that. And out of that, you can say, well, what was the outcome? Well, the outcome was these great high culture civilizations that built what nobody has ever built since we did that, and they haven't duplicated it as much as they want to because they still haven't figured out all of the hows that they did, the complex mathematics and how they had things in mathematical, think of the words I want to express right now, but in alignment with a lot of the universe and the stars.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also, purpose must, I mentioned a minute ago about the diet, but we cannot afford to do anything other than promote being healthy, to live, to promote natural health for the people and for the health of the people, the planet, and the vast universe. And currently, when we're following the purpose of the invaders, what are they doing? They are polluting the food. They're polluting the minds and bodies of the people. They're polluting the, and yes, they have successfully polluted and continue to pollute the universe with all kinds of junk by the thousands up floating around that occasionally fall back down to earth. And that was not the way that we followed before the invaders and the interrupters came. And so we've got to be about being focused on our higher self and having that higher purpose and purposes as we did, as I said, before the interrupters came. And if we're not careful, we're constantly being socialized, which is having been made to behave in a way that is acceptable to a particular society, with programming that has us ingesting unhealthy eating and living. And we've got to change all of that in another area. It's many, many areas that we have to have harmonious and beneficial purposes, and one of them is economic liberation. You, by way of cooperative economics, we've got to break free of the capitalistic beast because it's never been harmonious. It's never been respectful. It's always it's about violence. And that's why there's always, in whatever age group that still are in the physical realm, whether you're 20 years old or 40, 50, 80, or 100 years old or 150 years old, there's never been, since the interrupter showed up on the scene, any justice, or there's never been, then the war has never stopped. That was part of what I was trying to get to. There's always been war, because it's it does a lot to disrupt and take over other people's lands, but also it does a lot to create money flow for the ones that are controlling the money. So it's just like if you take, for example, the ones who control the money, print the money and things like that. If you, we, our people have any money, small or huge, whenever the ones that control the money decide that they're going to devalue it, then the buying power of the value of your money goes, it fluctuates. And if they decide mm-hmm. that they're going to take it down 50% tomorrow, then you've just lost 50% of your monetary wealth that you thought was yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that makes some sense. When we had wealth of our communities, our villages and our nations, and had the wealth of what nature provides that's there for all to enjoy, and land historically, before the invaders came, historically didn't belong to no one. It was just territories mm-hmm. that was claimed and used, but it didn't belong to no one or no being.
Right.
So animals, when they come to a place that has got an environment that they would be able to feed themselves and have water to drink, they stay there, and whenever that food is not available, they migrate somewhere else, but they were just free to roam wherever, the entire planet, if they could get there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were the mm-hmm. same way until the invaders came and created a new system of thinking, and then they started titling land and said, this is mine and you can't have it. And so they came mm-hmm. in and divided up Africa, as we know, the Berlin Conference, and they started drawing lines. And before then, Africa was not divided. The people were not divided. And these 52 different countries didn't exist in Africa.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. For sure.
And that's why there are African people that have been pursuing for some years now the one Africa, one economy, one form of money, monetary trade mm-hmm. that Africans own and control. And mm-hmm. that was part of what Gaddafi and some other Africans were striving to do, was to create a one world African bank. And I don't know if anybody got any questions or comments, but purpose is very, very vital and necessary. And when we are confused about our purpose, we suffer in many ways, including thinking that this capitalistic system and its way is a good thing. It's cruel and brutal, and it kills people. And thinking that the way that the majority of the people have been socialized to eat, and they're thinking that it's normal, is really unnatural, abnormal. So I'm kind of reminded of the book that Dr. Africa wrote some years ago before he made mm-hmm. his transition. It was entitled Nutricide. And the definition of that is the nutritional destruction of the black race.
Mm.
And those that participate in the nutricide diet, they routinely suffer throughout their lives and are sick with multiple things, whatever it might be, you know,
mm-hmm.
arthritis, high blood pressure, diabetes, kidney dialysis, and all of these. And when we switch up, hopefully that would be tomorrow morning or tonight,
mm-hmm.
when we switch up to a plant-based mm-hmm. diet, what would happen tomorrow is that kidney dialysis centers and diabetic supplies and all of that stuff, the people that make big, big money off of us eating ourselves sick, would begin to massively go out of business because they wouldn't have no business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before the invader way came along, there was no kidney dialysis. And I hope mm-hmm. that makes some sense to the people that's listening.
It does make sense. I went to Ghana, I think in maybe like 2001. And I don't remember seeing any dialysis centers there when I was, you know, traveling mm-hmm. from place to place. And when I went back, 2017 maybe, or somewhere around in there. No, it wasn't 17, just 15. 2015, dialysis centers all over the place. And I'm like, you know, we're not catching on. I think that the people we're following don't mean us any good. And you mentioned earlier, did you say like 9 strands of DNA? Okay. We have, you know, the so-called scientists, biologists, keep talking about junk DNA. And all it means is they don't know what it does. But since they don't know what it does, it then to them is junk. But one of the things that I came across recently was information about melanin, where it said that melanin is like a problem solver in the body. So if there's something wrong or you think it's something wrong, you could give it over to the melanin, so to speak. Excuse me, and the melanin will help rectify whatever is happening. And I think about, you talked about the language that we use, and we say that something is done to us because of racism, or that person is a racist or whatever. And we say in ourselves, we say that they're doing this to me because they're racist. They're doing it to me because I'm black. And the melanin picks that up as the black is the problem. And so the melanin that does all of these many things in our body will stop doing those things because that's what is the way to solve the problem. You have identified the problem you want the melanin to solve. And so now you're not functioning as well as you would have if you didn't tell the melanin that you being black was a problem. And even though the people tell us that they consider that junk DNA, I don't think they do. I think they know perfectly well how this stuff works. They've been spending trillions of dollars studying it. They know perfectly well that they can get up. They know they can't destroy us. But, and in knowing that they can't destroy us, they know that they have to get us to destroy ourselves. So they feed us. You can call them curses, or you can call them whatever you want. They give us the method by which we will destroy ourselves because we don't know any better. Like you said, just be. Okay, that's not the message we get. The message we get is just do it, you know, which is entirely different than just sitting down, being, studying, learning who you are, and applying what you know. So I think that all of that goes back to, you know, what is your purpose? Are you here to destroy yourself, or are you here to make yourself more valuable to yourself and those your line?
And when you talked about things that they implant in our thinking and we believe it, and then it affects our melanin. And there's a study called epigenetics, you know, which is still related. Melanin is involved, and your body will respond like you were talking about to whatever you say to it. If you said, if you just be, if you follow the ways of Maya and you just be, and you are in the environment without any judgment, criticism, or rejection, then you wouldn't absorb and take in that foolishness about there's something wrong with us just because we're black. It's just a programming. But we
exactly.
have the opportunity to rise up in our thinking and in our beingness where
mm-hmm.
they couldn't feed us that stuff and have us ingest it or eat it up, you know. And there's so much, you know, that they have. It was something else that you said I was going to respond to. I lost what that was right now. Something other than the melanin.
Okay.
But what I was going to tell you is, as you said in the last couple of minutes, that they know the reality about what they call junk DNA, and they know the DNA. It has a reference to talking about the DNA strands or sequence as a reference.
Mm-hmm.
Just type in on YouTube Dr. Edward Robinson. And Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Edward Robinson is an ancestor brother that has made his transition several years or so years ago, but very well studied. And on YouTube, Dr. Edward Robinson has a video about DNA sequence and
mm-hmm.
the study. He had a publication that he was holding up in his hand. He said, now, I can't give this to you because they copyrighted it. The Europeans and the Asians that studied this DNA sequence, they copyrighted
mm-hmm.
it so it could never be published by anybody else. But he had a copy, and he was reading from it. And also he had gotten with a genetic scientist that could break down the jargon inside of this particular book. And that's where you would hear him go into the details about the six DNA and the DNA sequence number, like 6 and 9. The higher the number,
mm-hmm.
the greater your capacity of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd encourage anybody that have not listened to Dr. Edward Robinson on YouTube, explain that so that we can get this, that we are not all the same.
Exactly.